With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This is the Kevin Jackson Radio Show.
Con Kevino Jacksones.
As you guys know, I talk a lot about black issues, diversity, things like that. And the reason is because, well, I'm black. Welcome, everybody. Kevin Jackson's who you're listening to. It's not the reason why I talk about black issues. I talk about black issues because black issues are pervasive in politics. And they are the reason why most of the crazy things that are going on in this country go on, is because we took one group of people and said, we're going to peel them out and we're going to put up special laws. And there was a time when those laws were needed, but they're no longer needed. But now, guess what? Everybody else wants to piggyback on that. Everybody, every so-called disenfranchised group is now saying, let's use that model. And that's what they do, and they've done it well. So I was reading from a friend of mine, Michael Bowen, who is one of the most brilliant guys you'll ever meet, and he talks about black diversity, and you don't hear about it. People, it's the elephant in the room, or the donkey in the room, because most blacks are Democrats, but it's the donkey in the room, because there is a ton of diversity among black people. You want to know something? I'm going to hip you guys to something really interesting, a concept that'll blow your mind, but here's something that nobody will ever say to you. All black people are different. I can't believe I just said it out loud. Yeah, there's not one of us the same. There's not a monolithic swath among us, but we get asked questions like, you know, Kevin, you know, Al Sharpton was listening to him the other day, and he seems to be speaking for most black people or black people in general, whatever. No, he isn't. He speaks for the people that pay attention to him. But the majority of black people can't stand Al Sharpton. I know it's hard to believe. You know what else I'll tell you? The majority of black people, this will blow your mind, respect Justice Clarence Thomas. They see him as a trailblazer, a good guy. The media wouldn't have you believe that, would they? They would make you think Thomas has to have full-blown security everywhere he goes. I will tell you, I met with Justice Thomas, and he said to me just the other day, Kev, I went out to my car, and a meter lady got upset with me, and I just started asking her questions as he was getting in his car. And he goes, well, tell me why. Why are you mad at me? And she couldn't give him one example. And he goes, but we chuckled and that was that. I walked away and that was in. Now, I don't know if it's that way today. This was 5 years ago, 6 years ago. I don't know if it's that way now, but it was then. Justice Thomas said, I don't travel with security. Anyway, Michael's writing about black diversity. He says, you know it's true, but it's hardly talked about. Everybody knows a black person who is nothing like the black people on TV or in movies or whatsoever. But people think that, and I'm going to read this part. One of the consequences is that many Americans think that they are doing all black people a favor in fighting for racism against some black people. That would be perfect if any racism destroyed most black people. What he's saying is that this so-called racism that you claim that you experience, that you want to help black people with, doesn't impact most black people. We don't see it. I played a clip years ago of Lil Wayne saying, I don't know what y'all are talking about. He said, man, I look out at my audience, there's a bunch of white kids. They making me a lot of money. He's like, what? And he says it. Look in the way he looks with tattoos, the grill, the dreads. He goes, I have never experienced racism. I'll admit, that was even a little mind-blowing to me. That a dude that had that look, and he goes, not one bit, makes some people mad that I'm not buying into the narrative. Who do you think buys more of Jay-Z's stuff? You think it's white people or black people? I think you know the answer. Anyway, going back to what Michael was talking about with black diversity, he fast forwards to now, June of 2023. He says, the more I hear about race, the less I want to think about it, and the more credibility I give to most every other way of describing people. See, he and I, we're at the same level where I say, the last thing I want to think about is your race. I give it no thought whatsoever. I'm in a room full of people. I'm not going, ooh. I mean, I jokingly talk about white folks. It's part of my act. But I don't care. And the reason why I make it a part of the joke and a part of the act, a big part of the act, is because I want people to understand how little it means. That's why I joke about it all the time. Not some of the time, all the time. He says, the trafficking in race is so heavy, it's become burdensome for me, specifically because of how I expected my racial identity to work for me. He says, an interesting parallel may be found in those Americans who, through the COVID pandemic, have found it increasingly difficult to reconcile their previously positive associations with American institutions and their very expectations of themselves as citizens. I hear such doubts and cynicism from self-identified conservatives who despise what the GOP has become under Trump, and from self-identified liberals who despise what progressives have done to their party. I have decided to abandon all aspects of the various culture wars and skirmishes and reduce my attack surface. Psychologically, as a Stoic, this has already paid off handsomely with regard to the abstention principle, which is a really deep thing that I'll get into in just a bit. So let's go back to these people that now are looking at the GOP and Trump, looking at the progressive movement, maybe Biden, I don't know, and making their new, you know, setting their new battlegrounds. Okay, fine. I don't know that I want to address it from the Trump perspective, because I've already talked about it. I think the people who don't support Trump are lacking in something. They may not realize it, but they're suffering from a form of leftism. Let me pivot back and get away from the whole idea of Trump, who I believe has the best chance of winning the black vote and the black mindset of any candidate in a long time. And it's because black people really do like candor. So what Michael has written about is essentially this idea around black diversity and this idea of monolithic, like that we're supposed to be all monolithic, and it's just not the case. So he mentioned this thing called the abstention principle, a simple moral principle. When a future change is framed as a problem which we might hope our political system to solve, then the only acceptable reason to talk about the consequences of failing to solve that problem is to score folks into trying harder to solve it. If you instead assume that politics will fail to solve the problem and analyze the consequences of that in more detail, not to scare people, but to work out how to live in that scenario, you are expressing disloyalty to the system and hostility towards those who suffer from that failure. That is exactly what the left does. Global climate change, the political system will solve this problem if we recognize that it's a problem. But if you dare to say, well, wait a minute, how about we just look at this, you know, from a common sense perspective and call it weather? Oh, you heretic. How dare you? He says, to find an avenue of retreat from the culture wars involves turning one's back on a bit more than politics. Yet I do so with respect for the metaphysics. There are, it seems, more universal ways and means of communicating respect for people outside of what holds cultural sway in our society. And what he's essentially saying there, folks, is, can't we all just get along? He says, I suppose it would be a great deal easier to do if I were fluent in a number of languages and spent time mingling elsewhere, but I'm handicapped. I'm short of talent and time. Well, I can assure you that Mike Cohen's not short of talent. He might be short of time. And he may be downplaying his talent in other areas, but he's talented in this area, which is analysis of the political scene. And when he talks about speaking in other languages, he's saying the identifiable problem for conservatives is, and I said this literally the other day to people, the message for us is uniform. The question is, how do we deliver? You must deliver the message to black folks differently. And I gave the example of how I'm working with a pro-life group. And I said, I'm going to show a pregnant woman. You'll see the ability to see inside of her belly. And it's going to be LeBron James dunking a basketball. And it'll say something simple like, would you abort this baby? Now, the idea is, I don't know who's inside your belly. But guess what? Neither do you. And you may very well have been the person to abort your LeBron James or your Beyonce or whatever. That is speaking in the language of black leftists. But I will tell you this, that message would probably resonate to all people.
Putting an end to identity politics.
And now for something completely different.
This is the Kevin Jackson Radio Show.
It has to end here.
Actually, it's just gotten started.
No!
This is the Kevin Jackson Radio Show.
You guys have heard me talk about this gentleman quite a few times. His name is Michael Bowen. And I think Michael is the illegitimate child of Thomas Sowell meets Jordan Peterson. I mean, he's so deep. And he wrote a piece about black diversity. And I want to just read a piece of it, and I want to talk about it because I think it's such an interesting subject. And this is one of the things that we'll be talking about in our virtual series as well as face-to-face at our event that I hope many of you will come to. But he says there's a loud and vocal minority of black Americans who think that they represent all black Americans. They don't. Because the news media is accustomed to having these people at hand, they continue something that is not quite stereotyping, but stereotypes anyway. Say it. Black diversity. Have you ever heard that phrase before? It's something everybody knows is true, but hardly ever talks about. Everybody knows a black person who is nothing like the black people on TV or in movies or whatever your stereotype is. One of the consequences is that Americans think that they are doing all black people a favor in fighting racism against some black people. That would be perfect, he writes, if any racism destroyed most black people. But the fact of the matter is all black America has survived and thrived despite all racism. Are you getting this? I hope you are. 844-551-8255. He says, still, really you can't say much of anything about all black America. I mean, anything you say will be true for some fraction. So what he's saying without saying it is that we are all different. Black people recognize it, yet there is this collective, and the collective is something that black people promote and white enablers embrace because they want to feel like they're helping us all. And there are a bunch of us going, we don't need it. Stop doing it. In fact, it's the majority of us. And going back to his premise, it's a small minority of black folks who think they represent us. And you know what's offensive to me is when somebody says, well, Kevin, you know, Al Sharpton says this, you know, what are your thoughts? You know, oh, well. And I know some of you are going, well, Kevin, at least they're asking you your thoughts. No, they're wondering, do I agree? You know, and what's funny, even white folks that are on the conservative side will ask me, well, Kevin, what do you think of the black people of this? And I'll say, well, listen, I don't speak for all black. One of the first things I tell people is I don't speak for all black folks. I do speak for the sane ones. The sane ones side with me. And that's why when people go, Kevin, are you like afraid? Are people out there to get you? I go, no, because I speak the truth. I don't care to whom it is. I speak the truth. And you know what black folks know? We know the truth better than anybody, man. We know game before anybody even recognizes they're on the chessboard. We know it. And we play it well. Michael goes on. He says, on the other side of this is Black American expectation of unity from other Black Americans. Chuck D said it best. Every brother ain't a brother. Or, as De La Soul said, they call it the hood because nobody's neighbors. I'm not exactly sure about that one. I'll have to ask Michael. Black communities, he writes, have historically been ghettos, meaning forced places for Black Americans to live. Few people chose to be among the people they lived with, and that seriously broke up in the 80s, both physically and culturally. There is no singular Black community, and Black Americans think and feel differently about themselves and each other. Here's a dirty little secret. People will never tell you this. You ready? Come on, white folks. I know y'all are listening, but I want to know, are my minority brothers and sisters ready to hear this? Here's a dirty little secret about Black folks and Latinos and white folks and Asians. You ready? Mostly Black folks. Is that Black folks don't like Black folks. Oh, yeah. Here's Kevin stirring up controversy. Let me tell you, Black folks don't like Black folks. Black folks don't want to hire Black folks. Black folks don't want to live among Black folks. Black folks want to... You'll meet many Black people. You have to be a practical hood rat to say, I want to live around Black people. I'm being honest with you. The majority, and I'm talking about to the least common denominator, the majority of Black folks do not want to live in what is considered a historically Black neighborhood or a predominantly Black neighborhood. True. If you had a Black version of Beverly Hills, Black people wouldn't want to live there. The majority wouldn't. I'm being honest with you. I talk about it in terms of femininity. Women, correct me if I'm wrong. Look, you can reach me, 844-551-8255. Women don't want to work around other women. They, if you ask women, other than a girl's trip or something like that, they don't want to be around other women all the time. They don't. Too much drama. Now, it could be a cultural thing. I'll put it to you this way. I'm not trying to be racist here. The only group I know that will live amongst themselves and not really worry too much about it are white folks. I don't know what it is. I don't think it's a DNA thing. I think they're comfortable going, I don't care. But here's what I will tell you. Most of those same white folks, they don't care who they live around. And they're like, if a city is 80% white, okay, so be it. They don't care. Now, I know there are people that are going, well, Kevin, yeah, because they've been used to being like that their whole lives, whatever. Whatever it is, there's a comfort zone, and I appreciate it. I actually try to be a part of it. I don't care. I will go live. I could be the only Black guy in the neighborhood. I wouldn't care. I wake up every morning to go get my paper. Hey, how's it going, Chuck? Hey, Kevin. What's going on today, buddy? I see my neighbor all the time. Brad, he's cleaning his cars. I'm like, hey, Brad, should I bring mine over? You know, we joke, or he'll bring up something political to me or whatever. But I'm very, in fact, most of my neighbors where I live are white folks. I see them walking, they wave. We stop them when they have a dog that we find interesting or whatever. Anyway, getting back to this. Historically, Black communities are gone, even though Joe Biden does have a Black side of his town.
I spent last summer going through the Black sections of my town, holding rallies in parks, trying to get Black men to understand it's not unmanly to wear a condom, getting women to understand they can say no, getting people in the position where testing matters. I got tested for AIDS. I know Barack got tested for AIDS. There's no shame in being tested for AIDS. It's an important thing because the fact of the matter is in the community's engaged in denial. They're engaged in denial. No one wants to talk about it in the community, and we do not have enough leaders in the community and outside the community demanding we face the reality, confront the men in the community, as well as the women, letting them know, sir, there are alternatives.
Thank you.
the black sections of his town, and he went to parks and he lectured black men and went, all bunch of nonsense. And then you see him, he tries to get indignant at the end. And then we've got to do this. This is what we've got to do. Oh, thank God we got white folks like him teaching us black people how to be, huh? Anyway, let's go back to Michael's article. He says, there is no singular black community, and black Americans think differently and feel differently about themselves and each other. Of course, there still is an affinity. It's difficult to define the affinity between black Americans. He says, I like to say that I come from a small town called Black. It's a well-known place, but that was a long time ago. Now it's practically a myth. Yet it's a fairly used mythology that all Americans share. The trick, of course, is to separate the myth from the reality. So Michael says this, it doesn't suck to be black in America. It's a challenge that we all understand and that the overwhelming majority of us rise, face, and beat. In 1960, there were some 20 million Negroes in America, and the majority of them lived in poverty. Today, there are more than 42 million, that was in 2010, and the majority of them live in the middle class. That's reality. See, if you really look at the statistics and what's going on with black folks, it is nothing like the picture that the left paints about black people in America. But ask the left if they care. They don't care. The narrative is you can't survive in America unless somebody's helping you, the government's helping you. And the narrative is that there is no black diversity. We're unified in cause. And if we're not unified with those people who aren't, well, as what's her name, Anna Navarro said, there can be black white supremacists. Black folks that won't toe the line. Black folks that won't buy the narrative. Malcolm X knew what to call these black folks. Leaders. That's what we do. I've spent my life as a leader trying to help people understand that, you know, where things go awry. We'll be back.
This is the Kevin Jackson Radio Show. This is the Kevin Jackson Radio Show.
And it didn't cost us a dime.
It's going to come down to those people that maybe are in the middle a little more. And the argument that they make to me is if he would just tone it down a hair, stop a little of the name calling. Hang on. I said it's their question. Leave me alone. All right. That it might help you with swing voters in that are needed for you to get over the finish line. It's already hard enough electoral vote-wise for a Republican to win. What do you say to them?
Okay, you ready? And I say this to everybody. I won an election. It was unprecedented. We beat somebody that supposedly had it made, and, you know, they probably did things in that election, too. They were shocked. But I came into office, and from the day I got in, I was under siege by people that have been in Washington for many years, put in there by many different presidents. In most cases, people that were against me, like, they spied on my campaign. They did all sorts of things. I was under investigation and under siege, and so were my people. And if I wasn't tough, I wouldn't be here right now, I guarantee you that. If I didn't fight back, I wouldn't be here. What they did is so bad, and they've been caught. Now, so far, nothing's happened to them of consequence. We had an Attorney General, Bill Barr, who didn't have the courage to fight. He just didn't have the courage. He was a nice man, but he didn't have the courage. He lost his courage when they wanted to impeach him. They said, we're going to impeach Bill Barr. They didn't even know why. There was no reason to impeach him. He didn't do anything wrong. But he didn't have the courage. We need courage in this country, or we're going to lose our country.
Courage, folks. Courage, folks. Courage, folks. Something that's in very short supply. I'm amazed at how much courage it takes just to state the obvious, common sense, the truth. I'm blown away. Right now, what's breaking in this country is we know that the guy who sits as the president of the United States, I'm going to give you the facts, whether you don't have to believe me on this, you can come to your own conclusions. But the fact is, he was shoehorned into office in a coup. They used January 6th to cover it up. And it is so blatantly obvious that the treatment of people who peacefully marched through that Capitol in what looked like a guided tour from the Capitol Police. And these people sit in prison. Meanwhile, Antifa and Black Lives Matter, who have killed people in this country, are exalted by the left. So they use that. They in order to make Trump a bad guy, they have to make him an insurrectionist. He led an insurrection. You would think this is Jim, the guy that led the raid on whatever, the armory. You're getting a lesson in my history, right? But you get what I'm saying? You would think that this man had done something so heinously wrong that he deserves everything he's getting. And this is a man who turned this country around, took it from the brink of bankruptcy, made it into something, not once, but twice, gets it taken over in this coup. We watch the country go downhill, and there are people still fighting for him. And we are in the midst of learning what this crook that is in the White House has done with the Biden crime family, which also links to what? The Clinton crime family, which links to the Obama crime family, which links to the criminal activities of the DOJ that have allowed all this to go on. I mean, the things that these people in the FBI should be prosecuting, parents at school boards, but no, that's what they're prosecuting, but not anything that we can common sense see with our own eyes. And we have the nerve to say, let's get rid of our guy. Joe Biden, I want you to understand, people that want to get rid of Trump have witnessed every single thing he's talked about. They've witnessed the unrelenting attacks on him, his family, anybody around him, anybody associated with him, anybody that dares say the word, don't even finish. I know what you were going to say, Kevin Jackson. And we want to get rid of him because he dares to tell the truth. He dares to say things in a way that are uncomfortable for you. Meanwhile, the other side is rallying around their crook. Kevin Jackson's you listening to the Kevin Jackson Network, 844-551-8255. I don't get it. I don't get it, folks. And I was talking to a lady the other night, a doctor, and she says, Kevin, for the life of me, I don't understand what this Svengali-like effect is for the Democrats who know they are wrong on so many issues, and yet they seem to gather all these people together. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you believe that, it's a fallacy. If you believe that the Latinos and the blacks and the women's and the gays and all these people are all kumbaya, you know, roasting weenies, yeah, our weenies, the weenies of misogynistic conservative men, if you think that that's what they're doing, you're wrong. They can't stand each other. They hate internally. They have more going on. And I can give you one issue right now that is a battle royale happening, and it is with feminism and the transgender community. Now, the question you should be asking yourself is, why can't we do something about it? No, you know what we're doing? We get announcements that Sununu is going to enter the race. Governor of what? Some state that nobody gives a crap about? Sununu's going to enter. Oh, and by the way, Chris Christie, well, he's going to enter. And some other guy, I don't know his name. So you know what the attitude is? We're going to show you all these people that hate Trump, Asa Hutchinson and John Bolton and Tim Scott and all of whatever else. And of course, Ron DeSantis. All these people are coming in. Why? Because Trump, well, he was ineffective. You know, let me tell you something. Anybody entering the race, the presidential race right now, should be pretty much banned from doing anything in the Republican Party going forward. Now, you'll say to me, Kevin, you're doing this pro-Trump nonsense. No, I'm not. I'm telling you that those are people that are buying into the leftist, a.k.a. Rhino brand, and they're saying, we don't want our champion. We don't care how good this guy is. When we want to get rid of somebody, we will get rid of him, yea, verily. That's what they're wanting to do, and you're falling for it. Ron DeSantis should be smarter. He should say, you know what? I would love to run, but I'll run as Donald Trump's vice president because the two of us together, what I could learn under his tutelage, and now that we've seen what this country is willing to do, I would proudly serve in that role. That would have been a smart move. But to say, what is he going to say other than COVID? Ron DeSantis has no grounds to stand on. He can't, oh, Trump did a terrible job with the economy. No, he didn't. He built it twice. Donald Trump was horrible on crime. He was horrible on, you know, erroneous, onerous legislation. No, he wasn't. He was great on all that. Not just good, great. And I'd give him an A- on his Supreme Court picks. You think DeSantis could have done better? I don't think so. Tell me where Trump went so wrong. Oh, it was his attitude. It was this or that. What you think? What do you think? Right now, look at DeSantis. Look at his style. He's confrontational, just like Trump. Oh, no, Kevin, he's a more polished version. No, he's not. Ron DeSantis looks like a blue-collar dude. There's nobody that looks at DeSantis and sees distinguished. I don't have a problem with that. He gets things done. He's a Rhodes Scholar. He's a smart guy. But he's a sellout. Anybody getting into this race right now is a bona fide, certified rhino. Stick with me, folks. We'll be back.
This is the Kevin Jackson Radio Show. This is the Kevin Jackson Radio Show.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
I think one of the most frustrating things for me politically is to watch how gullible people that I respect, people that I believe are smart thinkers, but how gullible these people really are. I'm talking about conservatives who understand the fake news media. They understand the game that's being played. They understand that we have been pawns in a chess game. We have been rubes in the matrix now for decades. That what we believe that matters, our vote matters, our vote counts, has been a lie. All the things that they tell you has been a lie. And look, I can connect a lot of dots for you. I can, as they say, lead a horse to water, or in this case, lead the elephant to water, but I can't make him drink. Kevin Jackson's here listening to the Kevin Jackson Network, 844-551-8255. I got to tell you, I go to these events, I see these anti-Trump people, and I marvel at them. There are some listening to me right now who will accuse me of being pro-Trump, and I'm going to tell you I am pro-Trump, but I'm not pro-Trump because of the name. I'm pro-Trump because of what he did, and they will not they fixate on a name. They fixate on a name. I could give you policy by policy by policy what this it meant to me with what Trump did, and you ruined it. What is wrong with you people? Now here's the good news. The good news is, every time when I go and because you know me, I'm not going to shut my mouth. So when somebody says, "Oh, Trump this," and I go, I give this speech. I'm like, "Well, what do you got against him? What are you talking about? Tell me why you don't like this policy. Tell me why you don't like what he did this." And then when they can't, and I go, "Well, then why are you buying into this?" They're like, "You know what? You're right." But here's what I find most of the time. You don't even have to go that route. And maybe some of them are quiet. They don't have to be. They seem to be vocal. When they don't like Trump, they tell you. Whether they're on the left or the right, they tell you. Well, here's what I'm finding. When you do these ad hoc, you know, what do you think about Donald Trump? Yeah, woohoo, ha! What do you think about DeSantis? Boo, or There's no ringing endorsement. And folks, I've done it enough times at enough places. And you can say, you could argue with me, "Well, Kevin, you've been pro-Trump territory." I don't know that. I mean, we could argue that, but I don't know that. But what I can tell you, 100% of the time, if you say, you people are going to vote for, how many people are going to vote for Trump? You get a big applause. How many are going to vote for DeSantis? Boo! And yeah, I don't even hear a start of an applause. Like, oh, okay. I don't even hear a start. Again, Kevin Jackson's who you're listening to. The Kevin Jackson Network, 844-551-8255. I laid out the strategy for the left on how they're going to try to do Trump right. I gave you this. I told you exactly what they're going to do. What they will do against Trump is they will try to make it appear as though nobody likes him. So what he won in 2016? And when they said he wouldn't, and they stacked the deck against him. Even Trump said it in a recent thing. He says, you know what? I think they tried to get me in 2016, but they couldn't do it. But here's what he's alluding to. They got me in 2020, but they tried to get me in 2016. And he talked about it. In 2020, he said, I got more vote. When you try to tell me I'm not popular, I got more votes than anybody. Do we have that clip? I could have sworn we had that clip.
Let me ask you one question. I've asked you this question before. And it comes up a lot. People know that I've interviewed you all these years. I've known you almost 30 years. And people ask me and say to him, why does he have to fight so hard? Why doesn't he pick his fights a little more? Why does he have to call people names? And the only reason I think this is an important question is because I think everyone here tonight is likely voting for you, right? So, however, it's going to come down to those people that maybe you're in the middle a little more. And the argument that they make to me is, if he would just tone it down a hair, stop a little of the name calling. Hang on. I said it's their question. Leave me alone. All right. That it might help you with swing voters in that are needed for you to get over the finish line. It's already hard enough electoral vote-wise for a Republican to win. What do you say to them?
Okay, you ready? And I say this to everybody. I won an election. It was unprecedented. We beat somebody that supposedly had it made. And, you know, they probably did things in that election, too. They were shocked. But I came into office. And from the day I got in, I was under siege by people that have been in Washington for many years, put in there by many different presidents. In most cases, people that were against me, like they spied on my campaign. They did all sorts of things. I was under investigation and under siege. And so were my people. And if I wasn't tough, I wouldn't be here right now, I guarantee you that. If I didn't fight back, I wouldn't be here. What they did is so bad, and they've been caught. Now, so far, nothing's happened to them of consequence. We had an Attorney General, Bill Barr, who didn't have the courage to fight. He just didn't have the courage. He was a nice man, but he didn't have the courage. He lost his courage when they wanted to impeach him. They said, we're going to impeach Bill Barr. They didn't even know why. There was no reason to impeach him. He didn't do anything wrong. But he didn't have the courage. We need courage in this country, or we're going to lose our country.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Courage. I mean, I played in the first hour. I talked about Megyn Kelly, and she didn't have the courage to confront transgenderism at its beginning, to nip it in the bud. Look, folks, I get it. I've talked ad nauseum about what it takes to be a conservative. I will play clips from you for the next week that will show you that people are all having to make decisions. So if you'd say this or you do this, Megyn Kelly in some of the clips, and we didn't play the whole thing, but she talked about you would be ostracized if you spoke out against this transgender movement. You were, you know, people wanted to cancel you. People threatened to beat people up. She showed examples of this. What this girl, Riley Gaines, I don't know, I think that was her name, Riley Gaines went through for speaking up for women. Well, I would ask you guys out there, if you're a conservative male, what are you afraid of? Oh, I'll lose my job. I'll lose this. I'll lose that. If you are not willing to lose something, then you have no principle. We've got to be willing to sacrifice. You think, look, I didn't have to protect Kavanaugh. I was protecting the bigger picture. All of our sons, all of our fathers, our cousins, our uncles, all these men needed protecting. It is imperative that we wake up. When we come back, we'll talk more about these candidates.
This is the Kevin Jackson Radio Show.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.